We need some like MIDI buttons that we can push and make like horn noises there at the beginning.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
That'd be fun.
I might get a little carried away, but I wouldn't mind it.
Oh, we might have to edit some inappropriate horn noises made during some serious conversations.
Yeah, how people get on radio and they, at the proper time, have the person with the big board of sounds and how he knows where all the sounds are.
It's crazy. I don't know.
It's an art and a science.
Oh, it is an art. That's an art that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. We also need a third person. We don't have a third person.
The silence was for the third person to speak, and they did not.
Didn't.
Yeah. So today, folks, we are first going to mourn the loss of Ravi Zacharias, a dear Christian apologist who loomed large in our day and age from the mid-80s until just, is it a week ago now?
About a week ago.
Yeah.
I think so.
At the age of 74, went home to be with the Lord after a very short bout with cancer. And kind of shocking in a way. Just kind of discovered it through one of his back surgeries. And then 2 months later, he's gone.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know Ravi, you need to get to know who he was now. And the easiest way to do that, the way that I was pointed to him and introduced to him upon my conversion was on YouTube. Just YouTube search Ravi Zacharias Q&A. I mean, that's where he really shined.
Yeah, yeah.
Answering questions one-on-one. His heart was for the questioner. Just a remarkable man who led a remarkable ministry. That's where it continues across the globe. And they have many wonderful itinerant speakers. Michael Ramsden is the president, and he's another guy that I would go listen to as soon as I could if I were you. So Andy has something to read here that was written about Ravi from a Christian satire newspaper, yeah, news outlet thing. So take what he says, what they've written, just in light of the fact that they do that. It's just all about satire.
Yeah.
But it's also a tribute to him.
Yeah, it is a tribute. The site is the Babylon Bee. Some of you may have heard it. And so, you know, when you go and read any other articles from there, like Dakota was saying, it is satire, so please do not take them 100% as truth. But anyway, I'll read this article that they wrote in tribute to Ravi. Earth was deemed unworthy of Ravi Zacharias today as God took him to heaven, where many have been awaiting his arrival for years. Listen, Earth, by God's grace, you got Ravi for 74 more years than you deserved. He's ours now, said Galil Jadriel, Heaven's spokesangel. Heaven's staff says they have been fielding requests to meet Ravi for all of eternity. There is a waiting list that goes on for miles. He just got here and he's already been giving out hugs and signing books for hours, one staffer said. There's a line going all the way around one of our largest cumulus clouds. Angelic contractors have been working feverishly on his mansion since the day they received the news he was headed their way. He's going to love it. We stenciled Chesterton and Muggridge quotes in every room, head contractor Bob Azaziel said. Back on Earth, Christians are scurrying frantically in an attempt to figure out how they can fill the massive hole left by Ravi's absence. From a scientific standpoint, the chasm he left cannot be filled, said one researcher. The best we can do is try our hardest to be the kind of Christian Ravi was, a true beacon of humility and Christ's love, displaying wisdom, gravity, and endless joy, never throwing out insults and always ready to give an answer, not only with our words, but for our very lives to be undeniable evidence of God's love and forgiveness. So let's get to work. Mm,
pretty good.
Yeah. I think that last part is pretty much spot on for Ravi's life. I mean, you mentioned the Q&A videos, and I love watching those because, and I think you've even mentioned this before, but he goes to the heart of the individual. He never takes on the question as though he has the supreme authority and this like God-given platform to tell them what's right and wrong. He truly desires that the individual knows truth.
Yeah, he was just really good at, sometimes people ask questions and there's definitely a deeper reason why than just a surface issue, I want to know the answer. Yeah. And he was phenomenal at getting to know the individual in the midst of their question. I just finished just a 12-week training course on his website with his ministry, and it was all about understanding the questioner. Mm. And they also gave you the tools to answer some of those difficult questions, but it was more about how you answer those in light of who asked it.
Yeah.
And the context in which they asked it and all that sort of stuff. And so that is a fruitful evangelistic ministry under the guise of Christian apologetics. In his official obituary, it says, Frederick Antony Ravi Kumar Zacharias was born in Madras, now Chennai, that's India, in 1946, in the shadow of the resting place of the Apostle Thomas, known to the world as the Doubter, but to Zacharias as the Great Questioner. Zacharias' affinity with Thomas meant he was always more interested in the questioner than the question itself. One really cool story that Ravi told a few times in some of his talks was this. At the age of 17, Ravi was in the hospital in Delhi, India, after a suicide attempt. And he's just sitting there in the bed, and in comes a man with a Bible. And they open the Bible, and Ravi reads John 14:19, because I live, you also shall live. And after that, Ravi was converted, went on to be invited by Billy Graham at the age of 30-some to preach at one of Billy's events, and then on the plane ride home with his wife, launched Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, which took off from there. But at any rate, so in one of his events, travels, he had made it back to India at some point and had never seen the grave of his great-great-grandmother or something. This was a woman who converted, was saved to Christ in the midst of Hinduism and Buddhism and stuff like that. Even that far back in his lineage, there was somebody who followed Christ. And so he, through much searching, they discovered where this gravesite was, where the headstone would be. And upon uncovering some of the brush and stuff like that, on her headstone was John 14:19, because you live, I also shall live. And that was just like incredible to hear that story of God's providence of planting the seed in his family heritage with this great-great-grandmother, and then using the same exact point in his word to convert Ravi and then bring the gospel to the nations all over the world. So I just thought that's a phenomenal aspect of his story.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So Ravi's meant a lot. One thing that Ravi did in my personal testimony was allow me to understand that my mind was there to be used. Yeah. And up until that point, I had not had very good interactions with my mind. And he kind of set me free to say, nope, you need to use this as a tool to know God.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have the ability, If there's not something that's really handicapping you from using your intellect, you have that from God to know him, so yeah. Use it.
Yeah, we've been given minds for a reason. And I've heard John Piper say, that what he does as a theologian is not different from what everyone else has the capability of doing, mm-hmm. which is studying Scripture to know God. And so, I've been blessed by the Lord from Ravi's ministries as well. I've seen quite a few of the Q&A videos. And what has struck me is what was in that article that I read was his humility. Mm. So many times, Christians who do know a lot have an air of arrogance, or they patronize those who maybe don't know as much. But Ravi never did that. Ravi sincerely cared about the people that were asking the questions, even questions that seem simple and easy to answer. He never went about it as though the question was dumb. And I think, as the article pointed out, this is a man that we can learn from in humility and letting our lives show the love of Christ with love and grace.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton that can be said. There's a lot that will be said.
Yeah.
I know that by the time you listen to this, they will have aired his memorial on YouTube as well as a lot of other platforms. I'm sure you can go back and find that, search that up, but that'll be something good to watch and hear from all these people who's he's impacted and how his ministry will continue to be fruitful. Actually, Ravi's ministry, I think, was either the first or the second parachurch ministry or ministry outside of the local church that I started, you know, giving support to financially because I just believe in it much.
Yeah.
And he's been so impactful to me that everybody needs this. It's not just for intellectuals or people who think they're intellectuals because I'm not.
Yeah.
And it was for me. So any more on Ravi that?
Well, I was thinking about this the day that I heard that he had passed away. And I think it's just so cool what God does. How the fact that he uses people for his glory is incredible to me. Like, we know he doesn't need anyone, so that he chooses to use us to send out his gospel and to advance his kingdom. What a privilege we have. And we've said before, if not on this show, in conversation with one another, that you are, as a Christian and even as a non-believer, you are immortal until God is done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but thinking about that, Ravi's work is obviously done here on earth, but that does not mean that the Lord is done using Ravi's work.
Yeah, it's like Spurgeon.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have both read the same biography about Spurgeon, but even reading a biography about Spurgeon is impactful for worshiping Christ more. And that's the test there. Does their legacy draw you more towards Christ, or does their legacy just make you say, oh, wow, what an awesome person?
Mm.
Although you can say that, but that's going to be the test of our, that's going to be the test of our ministry. I think the Bible talks about that somewhere, about being tested by fire.
Oh, yeah. Some will come out by the skin of their teeth.
Well, he'll test a work.
As just, yeah, and some will pass through as
you
just.
You guys
got to
forgive us, on our biblical references.
I was listening to somebody talk about that the other day. I think it was for the church podcast. I think it was Jared C. Might have been Matthew Barrett, though.
1 Corinthians 3:13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So through COVID, there's a lot of things that we deal with and we have to deal with at a distance. And so for Ravi, while he's dealing with cancer, he's dealing with it in the midst of COVID. And so it's very hard for people to get there and say goodbye and all that sort of thing. And even the memorial, I'm sure they have a lot of hoops to jump through and he can't do it like the way he deserves for it to be done. So that kind of draws us into, you know, well, the church is still in the midst of working, still in the midst of doing stuff and trying to get back to normalcy. And so that's what's current with COVID. But what do we expect to remain as good things from COVID?
Yeah. So our hopes for the church coming out of this into the reopening. I know that one thing we've talked about and you've experienced more than I have living closer to the church, but the people's willingness to serve each other, knowing that there are those in the church that are in need, whether it be toilet paper or prayer or just checking in on someone to see how they're doing through this time. I would hope that that would continue and that we would not view that as something that we did and now we can be done with because we get to see each other on a Sunday morning. But I think that that's a call to the church of that we need to continue in.
Yeah.
So distracting.
There's a lot of things that need to remain intact.
So what are some things that you see that you'd like
to remain intact?
Yeah.
The church has begun to utilize forms of media that are impactful in getting the message out there. Even though we're one of thousands of churches who are preaching the gospel, there are different circles that we all reach, different people that we all reach. And by using the online platforms, I think we're seeing the impact of that. I've experienced the fruit of that already. For people outside the church that are now contacting the church, being interested in gospel, things like that. So I think it's brought the church to a place where it might have taken us a little bit longer to get there than it did because of necessity. Mm. So that's going to remain. We've already made plans and provision for that to remain. And so it's drawn us to that. It's drawn you and I to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's drawn us to begin to call out some of the other gifts in the church of expressing what they've learned in Christ and in Scripture by writing about it and putting it in a blog format for the church to read when we can't all be together and talking.
Which is a good format for those things.
Yeah. It's a
good
way,
context.
It's a way to feed people throughout the week when you're not necessarily with them all the time.
Right.
And it also just opens up the options we have. You know, so now, even when weather comes in, it's an easy transition. It's not like people are just, no pun intended, just left out in the cold. It's it's like, okay, well, you know, I'll still be preaching just online.
Yeah.
We'll still hear it and we can still sing together even though we're apart. So none of this was, what I don't want to remain is the separation.
Yeah.
None of this is in a substitute for meeting face to face. That is, I think just even the basics of Scripture teach us that how we exist now with Christ, His Spirit within us, even though He's not away from us. I'm losing my words, but there is still a longing for a face to face that we don't have right now.
Yeah.
So we can't lose that. We can't, and that's part of the danger is that you fear that some people are going to take this and say, oh, well, you know, they're just online now, and I don't, you know, the kids, or, you know, Saturday was rough, or, you know, just be home. And the church is an assembly, a gathered assembly, and so I don't ever want to.
Yeah, and that kind of attitude could be keeping the rest of the body from experiencing the gifts that God has given you to share with the church. You preached on that 2 weeks ago about there are gifts that are not explicitly seen but are needed. The mention towards the less honorable things being concealed or the more honorable things being concealed. I forget which way that is. You have to remind me.
The less honorable.
But those things that aren't seen but are still a necessity to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And if someone is to say, well, I don't need to go because it's just easier, you could be hindering the body by being selfish in
you
that.
You are. Mm-hmm.
So
it's not possible to have church in your living room by yourself on your couch.
Yeah.
Church is an assembly of your brothers and sisters who have unique gifts that are appointed and apportioned by God in the body to fulfill the role of being complete in Christ together.
Yeah. So here's a question I had. You were talking about, this kind of came to my mind, and I think I saw it in your notes.
Boy, my voice is cracking a lot today, so if you're having a hard time listening to me, I'm 32, I'm not 13. Anyways, go ahead.
So many things I want to comment on with that, but I'll move on. So you mentioned that the church has, a lot of churches actually have taken on this media aspect of doing services, and we have as well. And so my question is, how far do we go with the times? I think I saw that written down in your notes somewhere. How far does the church... Yeah, you're looking for the note, but you can't find it.
I can't read it even when I do find it.
That's true. So how far should we...
How much do we change with the times?
Yeah, yeah.
Does this cause us to change with the times? No, just in the way I mentioned before with the online platforms. It's kind of like when we started a website with the church. I think the important thing to realize and embrace is not only do we have a building, it's like a second, meeting place in a way, the website. It's like a second presentation of the church making the gospel visible.
Yeah.
Because, so those things are important to do, but I think you and I are definitely in agreement that we don't change with the current trends in Christianity that do change with the times in a negative way. Like, for instance, like some of the musical trends or some of the preaching trends or we don't do any of that. In fact, we want to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And let's watch the natural outflow of the Spirit in the first century. And even though they're not perfect, I still want to look there for some direction. And so I don't want to go new with a lot of things that are essential to a church and worship and the gospel. I want to go old school.
So what you're saying is we can utilize the tools of the times, but we wouldn't want to emulate some of the
current
practices.
Trends.
Yeah. That's good.
There's some liberty in there as far as like dress.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be one liberty where like, okay, we can debate. You can come up and say, you know, things for each side of, you know, you should wear a full suit and tie and a dress and a hat, or you should, or it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all, you know, it's just, so dress would be one area where it's gray.
Context.
Yeah.
It's key. Mm-hmm. And being mindful of others. We've said that about before. Mm-hmm. Things like that, being mindful of brothers and sisters with the trends that we're partaking in.
Yeah, smoke machines, that's a bad trend.
That's probably not a helpful trend.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Bad trend.
Bad trend.
Zip lining into the pulpit, that's a bad trend.
Yeah. Water slides.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Oh, I have, there was a video out there of a guy who did do something strange where he tried to, what did he try and do, jump over a rake or a... what are you trying to do? Jump? Maybe he tried to jump over a bike with his feet or something.
Oh, no.
Ended up falling on, like, his back.
He broke his back?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it gets weird out there. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't think we need to follow the trend of illustrations that are physically demanding. I've lost a lot of athleticism.
What trends, maybe I'm going to get us in hot water here, what trends do we not follow that COVID has produced for the church?
For the church.
And I think, well, the one is obvious. Like, we're going to have to meet together face to face. Voices cracking again. I'm going back to fifth grade. Let's just go.
Just drop it down an octave and try to get it lower. Yeah, I think that's one thing a lot of churches have fallen into. Now they're maybe more fearful of a virus than they should be, or they're more fearful of the virus than they are trusting of the Lord's providence.
And, right, and we don't want to be ignorant in that. And
right.
Hey, go, you know, ingest smallpox and just trust the Lord, you know? That's testing God.
Yeah, that's...
That's testing God. So with the information given, we try and be as smart as possible, and I think that's what we're doing. I don't want this to set the precedent that every time somebody sneezes, we clear the room and wipe everything down. And that's what I don't want. And I don't want this to set the precedent that we don't embrace each other.
Oh.
Just because everyone has germs and will have germs for third time here on earth. I don't want that precedent to be set. I don't know. What else can you think of that this is?
I haven't really, honestly, I haven't paid attention to trends in the church.
I've been trying
to focus on this church.
I've been in a lot of kind of these calls, these Zoom calls with other pastors, and it gets real like creative. It gets real like, you know, I'm going to have micro sermons and bring, you know, groups of 10 in at a time for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I think that would burn you out real fast.
Yeah. I mean, if we're dealing with something like the Spanish flu or something, sure, let's make some... But we have the internet now, so if you're dealing with something like that, you got to go online or you got to do something.
Yeah.
And we've done that too with this, but we got to be careful how far we go when it's may not be necessary, or if we may not be gaining anything by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But not be afraid to do the things we need to do. We don't want to test God. If there is something out there that is causing people harm and being transmitted very easily, you gotta be careful how you...
I think the biggest stumbling block we can fall into is like we've talked about already, just ceasing to meet together, mm-hmm. and presuming that internet is enough.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that would be very harmful.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that it's done too, like you mentioned at the beginning, is highlight the church's need for each other. Mm-hmm. Because it was overwhelming trying to communicate and make sure everything was getting taken care of with every family. And does anybody have a problem? You know, how do we know? How do we go find out? Mm-hmm. It's not that we didn't have the tools to do so. It's just that the logistics of doing so highlighted the need for, okay, we need to share kind of in this work.
Yeah.
It kind of highlights the need for the plurality of shepherds to make sure that, you know, each one is protected and fed and all that sort of stuff. And we're talking in terms of the soul. I mean, that's our care.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to use the biblical word elder for that.
Yeah. And by the way, what we mean by that is pastor, shepherd. That's the same thing.
Same thing. I mean,
it's not to say that one, we can do a whole podcast on what that means.
Maybe we should sometime.
Look up ninemarks.org. They'll give you great definitions of those things, biblical definitions, not just ones that we decide work best for us.
Yeah, pastor shepherds to help carry that burden, mm-hmm. that load of mm-hmm. administrating the needs of the church.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. So what else has God done through COVID-19? What are some things maybe in the church, maybe outside the church, that we've seen God do?
Well, in our particular context, I've told the church time and time again, I usually have a sermon calendar where I know what's coming up 3, 4, 5 months in advance to preach. The Spirit works through that. I mean, it's just so timely in the way that He does that. It's not my schedule, it's His schedule. You know, if you're submitted to that, then He'll make that work. That's in His will, not mine. But then also, during this time, I haven't had a schedule. Mm. And it's not that I didn't have an idea of where I wanted to go with the church. It was just more open to week by week, what does the church need here this week? And so what He's drawn us to in these things is the desperate need to pray, and specifically in prayer to repent, to confess and repent, and to seek Him with all our whole heart, not only on behalf of our own souls and our own families who we're quarantined with, but on behalf of a nation and a world that lives in darkness and finds herself so far from God because they have not repented, confessed, and believed that there is mercy and grace for them.
Yeah.
So just to call on those things, because when everything's taken away from you, whether it's by a virus or whatever, you realize that you really had no power or nothing in your possession that was solid and secure whatsoever.
Yeah.
So where does that leave you? It leaves you to cry out to the Lord. It's where He wants you to recognize depends on Him, so that when He moves and acts, who gets the glory?
Yeah.
It's going to be Him. So we have to be so sensitive and to our own shortcomings and so confident in Him that prayer is not normal or ordinary, but constant.
Definitely. I think that it's given context for some good conversation within the church, among believers, and even among believers and unbelievers. But it's brought about very good things, like a new book from John Piper, Coronavirus and Christ. And just this whole conversation about God's sovereignty, I think, has been something major that's come out within the church. A conversation that people are having about God's authority over all things, whether that be a virus or the hearts of men or whatever circumstances. I know I've personally had good conversation about, again, just God's sovereignty and His providence in all things. This is one of those things I've heard, again, just John Piper, what a guy. But he's said that the scare of cancer in his life was one of the biggest blessings. It's just this, like, okay, if I have it, that's the Lord's providence and sovereignty in my life to help me to rely on him. And so in this virus, we start to think about, am I going to get it? We're scared if we're going to get it. You know, we think about all the things that we can do to prevent it. And we do, like we've said, want to be smart, wash our hands, not lick toilet seats.
Just general good ideas.
Yeah, just just sanitary practices like we should be doing all the time. But then it brings about the conversation, because there's a fear in it, because some people will go to the extreme where they're living their lives in a sense of fear at catching this virus, instead of, you know, doing what the Lord has given them the ability to do and trusting the rest to him, saying, I'm going to wash my hands because the Lord has given me the ability and the knowledge to wash my hands. I cannot control my environment around me. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something as people we need to learn.
Yeah, it's like health in general. From a Christian perspective that trusts in God's sovereignty, it's like I'm gonna take care of what he's given me, right? Paul says physical exercise is of some value. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not supposed to just neglect your body.
Yeah.
Like, take care of it. It's a gift, all that sort of thing. But even as perfect as my diet could be or whatever, I don't ultimately have the say in cancer or sickness or accidents to leave my body broken and stuff like that. Like, we don't have the, you can't control everything.
Yeah.
Or maybe nothing. So, you know, you be responsible and you trust God that he's going to do good to you, even if it seems bad. And COVID has been bad for several people. It not seemed bad. It is bad.
Yeah.
But the record that God has in the scriptures is, even though some things are intended for evil, even though you suffer, what is the outcome? Good and glory.
Yeah. And the good news is the best news that you can receive in that, especially for someone who gets COVID and doesn't know Christ. What is the good news in getting COVID? That Christ has paid for the sin of the world, of the ones that we believe, and that even if you perish, there is life with him.
Yeah. So what this has produced, what God has produced through this, is hopefully maybe a deeper understanding in people's hearts that we rely completely on him.
Mm-hmm.
So much. There's something else I was going to say along these lines, and I forget. But that's, as a pastor, that's what I've wanted. I've wanted people to have a revival in their hearts as they've had time, as things have been quiet, as they've not been out interacting and being distracted by events and stuff like that. It's been a blessing to be able to slow down with your own soul and your own family and just take stock and, like, okay, what's going on here in my heart? So I hope people have done that.
I hope that continues too.
Yeah, yeah, there's just lasting things that you want. You don't want to waste COVID.
Hey, yeah.
Like John Piper says, don't waste your cancer.
Yep.
Don't waste your COVID experience, man.
Yeah.
This was good.
Yeah.
For a reason. So.
Anything else on these topics or anything coming up? What do we got coming up? Should we plug what's coming up or in the future on this episode? We've got some guests that we're going to have on.
Yeah, we're looking at doing an episode coming up with some women in our lives.
Yeah.
So our wives will join us for the podcast, and we'll talk about, you know, we're still working out what we're going to talk about. I'm sure we could talk about everything, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think that'll be a good one.
I'm excited for that one, so you should stay tuned for that one.
Yeah.
I think you could guess that we're going to at least talk about because Dakota and I have no experience in this, we'll talk about being a female Christian in today's society and in the church, so that'll be something.
And then this summer, Andy and I are going to do a youth camp for our church. I'm going to preach, and he's going to lead worship, and then we're going to do a podcast with some of those people that are joining us for that.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
I'm excited about that one.
On location in Branson, Missouri.
In Branson, Mo.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've also, we did a t-shirt giveaway, our first t-shirt giveaway on Instagram. Somebody won a t-shirt. And then we're getting more t-shirts.
Yeah, so we can do another giveaway.
Different colors. We got stickers.
Those things are so cool.
If you want a sticker, email info@roaringglory.com. I'll give you a sticker.
We'll send you, we could do this. We could send them a nice little note with the sticker.
Yep.
From the desk of Dakota Darby.
And from the mind of Andrew James Montgomery Darby.
We'll wax seal it. Email us. Definitely we'll send you a sticker with a note and a wax seal on it. You'll love it. I promise. It's a great joy.
Yeah, it is. Stickers are fun.
Again, info@roaringglory.com.
Which also reminds me to tell you to check out roaringglory.com. I know there's a couple articles in the works that will be posted on there soon. You can also listen to the podcast on there if you don't use one of the podcast platforms like Google or iTunes. So you can always listen on the website at roaringglory.com. I don't know. What else? We're just going to look at adding some more guests now. Andy and I have kind of worked through what it is to do this together, and we're going to comfortable now letting somebody in on this.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I think it'll be beneficial for all parties.
Yeah, I like to party.
On that
note, we're going to hit that outro.
Whoa, whoa!
Here it goes.
Okay.
What?
Just, we should tell them we love them every time.
Okay. Go ahead.
But you're better at it.
Okay. Play the music.
Okay. I don't have it.
You don't have the music?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just say I love you.
I love you.